Let's start off with a little story. Story about a couple of guys, Bo and Clarence, live in Louisiana. Their ancestors had homesteaded years and years before. They were like great granddaddies. And they homesteaded on opposite sides of this river. And they just lived in the same area. Their families, just generation after generation, both lived on either side of the river. There was no reason to cross the river because there was really no way other than boat. They had no reason to, because everything Bo needed and his family was, on that side of the river. And everything Clarence needed was on that side of the river. So they never crossed the river. They had no reason to. But for some reason, both families did not like each other. They didn't know why. This was generation after generation of dislike. And nobody could figure out, nobody knew why. It was a thing. It was kind of the Hatfield-McCoy type of deal. But it was Bo and Clarence at this point. And, they grew up both being told, those people cross that river, them bad people. Yeah, you don't have nothing to do with them. They're bad people. So they just grew up thinking they were bad people. So Bo and Clarence, whenever they'd see each other across the river, they'd start yelling at each other, yelling insults. Well, Bo, one of his favorite things was he would yell out there, one of these days I'm going to come across that river, I'm going to whoop you. And then Clarence, he'd open up, come on down, Burke, come on across. Matter of fact, I might come across that river and whoop you. This went on and on for years and years. Finally, the state built a bridge down the road. Well, they built this bridge, and Bo's wife, after it had been built for a while, finally was, hey, Bo, you kept threatening Clarence that you're going to go with her and whoop him. We got a bridge now. What are you going to do? Bo's like, you know what? You're right. Right. I'm going to go over there. I'm going to whoop him. So he goes to the bridge, walks on down there, gets to the bridge, reads the sign, turns around, goes back home. Doesn't go across the river. His wife sees him walk in the door. It's like, what, so did you get him? Did you go beat that Clarence? He's like, no, ma'am. I got to the bridge and there was a big old sign. It said, Clarence, 12'6". That's a big boy. I can't handle somebody like that. Bo's wife hears as he's walking off, I think I hate that boy even more. Could you all stand for the reading of God's word? Matthew 5:43-45. You've heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Please be seated. Through the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus uses this phrase a lot. You've heard that it was said, but I'm going to tell you. I tell you. And usually when he makes that comment, it's something in reference to something in the Old Testament. Old Testament law, prophecy, something. In this case, it's referring to Old Testament law, Leviticus 19:17, where it says, do not hate a fellow Israelite in your heart. Well, over the years, the rabbis always had to extrapolate on everything. So they kind of pulled out of this, well, if we're not to hate our Israelites, our fellow Israelites, then it's okay to hate the other guy. Tells us in scripture that they hated the Samaritans. It was okay to hate others, just don't hate an Israelite. Jesus is up here going, you missed the point. You missed the point. The point was, don't hate anybody. Love your enemies. Do good to those who persecute you. You know, why did Jesus find it necessary through the Sermon on the Mount and through his teachings to talk a lot about this topic or hint around it? Spent a lot of time on that because he knew the human heart. He knew that people hold hate in their hearts. They hold anger. They hold distrust, dislike. So that begs the question, why do people insist on hating? You know, Jesus spent a lot of time talking about that, about this. And it was a total flip-flop to what the Israelites, the people he was speaking to, what they were taught, what they were, their whole culture was a culture of us against them. You know, they were waiting for the king to come to overthrow the Romans. Here's Jesus going, love your enemy. Complete antithesis of what they were used to. Why do people insist on hating? Interesting concept. Something that I wanted to speak on this today, because it's something that has become, I see it all the time. I deal with a lot of people every week. And there is a lot of angst out there. There's a lot of hate out there. And a lot of it is unnecessary. The majority, all of it is unnecessary. You know, it's almost, to hate something or somebody has almost become a social norm now. It's almost expected. If you don't hate something, something must be wrong with you. It's almost come to that point now. I mean, I've seen people, an ad will come on TV or something on the radio or something on social media, and they literally lose their mind. They get so angry over these things, they'll start just freaking out on the ad on TV or whatever, and it's like, you're expending a lot of energy over this. Why do you hate this so much? What's it doing to you? Not just the ad itself, but for you, your health, your spirituality. What's it doing to you? You know, there's a lot of angles to this. I know some people that really dislike, dare I say, hate other people that they know well. And the reason is they're the same person. They have the same personality traits. And they butt heads all the time. They don't see it. I actually had to sit down and have a conversation with a gentleman recently, three weeks ago, about this, because he was so angry at this other person. And I was like, wait a minute, think about what you're saying. You're saying exactly the same terminology, exactly the same things he's saying. That's making you angry. It's out there. This whole atmosphere of anger and hate and angst has become so prevalent. It's saddening. It really is. Now, according to psychologists, there's different reasons for people to develop a hatred of something or someone. You know, a big one is fear and insecurity. People are afraid of something or some unknown. Therefore, keep it away. Don't like it. Hate it. Why? There's insecure. Sometimes people just get afraid of losing status or just deep-seated personal anxiety, and they allow that to build into a hatred of something or someone. And projection is one. They don't want to acknowledge their own negative personal traits, so they project it onto somebody else, and therefore they hate them because of it. Very similar to the situation I was talking about where the two people have the same personality trait. Very similar situation. Powerlessness or anger. People get angry over something. They have no control over a situation. They get frustrated. They feel that they're mistreated because of that. And they feel that the hate becomes the thing to where they can feel like they're in control. It's false, it's fake, but they feel like they're in control. There's a thing called the in-group, out-group mentality. Again, going back to the Israelites, us against them. You're not part of my group, therefore you're bad. Bo and Clarence, right? You know, them boys over there are bad. Stay away from them. But in reality, it all boils down to a learned behavior. Hate is taught. It's not intuitive. It's not instinctive. It doesn't just happen. We're not born with hate. It's something that is learned. It is something that grows within us. And it can come down from stereotypes or prejudice, social conditioning, different things like that. That can impact. It's a learned behavior. I mean, probably everybody in this room knows somebody that they grew up around that was either very prejudiced or had some very strong social ideals. And I'll be honest with you, when I was a kid, I remember the first time I heard a racial slur from another kid. I was in third grade, and we're on the playground. And another kid was a Hispanic kid, another kid called him a name. Unfortunately, the only reason I knew what that word meant was one of my family members has used that term quite frequently. Not my mom and dad. Just clarify this right now. Somebody else, yeah. little kids, you look at little kids out playing. You're out on the playground. They don't care. They don't care. They don't care the color of the skin. They don't care what religion. They don't care. They're out playing. They're having fun. It's a learned behavior. It is something, unfortunately, that our society is propagating. It is pushing it more and more. Turn on anything. Turn on your TV. Turn on social media. Turn on anything. We are inundated with advertisements, and a lot of those advertisements is us against them. You know, it could be anything from political. It could be from products. This is so weird, okay? Doing what I do, I joke around, I sell toilets, right? That's kind of my running joke. If you don't know what I do, I'll explain later. But these different companies, literally how they pitch it to us is our toilet flushes better than their toilet. And it's not just facts, right? It's an opinion. There are facts behind it, yes, but they make it sound like it's an emotional decision. They try to make it an emotional decision because they know in our society today, people will make a decision quicker based off an emotion than based off of facts. They know that. So that's how advertisements work anymore. You see an ad on TV, and you see that brand new shiny car or truck driving down the road or up in the mountains, four by or whatever. It's an emotional reaction. Rick's back there going, yeah. You know, it's anymore, it's almost, and this is tongue-in-cheek, bear with me, it's almost as if our society has taken the words of Groucho Marx as a mantra. He once said, I am free of all prejudice. I hate everyone equally. You know, it's almost like society hears this and goes, challenge accepted. We can do this. It's gotten bad. It's gotten really bad. Recently in a interview, the comedian Cheech Marin from Cheech and Chong, he made a comment. He was asked a question about, you know, fans and this type of thing. And he jokingly makes this comment. He says, I tried to like people, but then they started breathing and talking. And he goes, I don't know. You know, it's I've actually seen situations, and this is a feel, and I don't know if this is right, wrong, or I'm not a psychologist. I don't know if this is right, wrong, or different. But it seems like people, I'm generalizing here, they're daring each other to hate each other. They're trying to be as obnoxious as possible to where this person, okay, I'm going to be very obnoxious. Well, this person's getting really angry, and then therefore he hates this person, he or she hates this person, then all of a sudden that justifies this person to hate the other one. That's what it feels like. I don't know if I'm right or not, but it's like people posting stuff on social media or making jokes and comments all the time, and it this propaganda thing is what it feels like. It just pushes that us versus them narrative and makes it uncomfortable. It makes it painful. People are hurting each other and hurting themselves and not even realizing it. You know, we look at history and you see throughout history, you know, with the propaganda that was out there. I mean, you can go Nazi Germany, China, etc. The big ones, right? The big ones, we can call it. Those were pretty blatant, pretty out there. But there's a lot out there that's really sneaky, that they're just trying to insinuate into our lives. We don't even have to look for hate propaganda anymore. It's right there in front of us. We come into contact with it every day. Like I said, people like to try to make something funny, you know, do post something funny or make a joke about something. All they're doing is trying to stir the pot. They're just trying to get people riled up. It doesn't serve a purpose. It doesn't help anyone. It's not going to alleviate the situations. It just stirs it up. There's people I know that thrive on this, and it's sad. It really hurts me to my core. I've got people that work for me that live that way. And when I hear them, we have a conversation. Stop stirring it up. You're not helping your situation or our situation. I have I'm blessed to be in a position to where I can have those conversations with people. But you hear it on the street, you hear it at the grocery store, it's out there. Psychology Today wrote an article recently about this topic, and they summarized the whole article in three bullet points. Bullet point number one: hate is not an emotion, but a learned response fueled by fear, anger, and stress. It's not an emotion, but a learned response. It flourishes on division, misinformation, social conditioning, yet it can be unlearned. Think about that. Think about what we hear and see in our society today. It thrives on division, misinformation, and social conditioning. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? It really does. Third bullet point: replacing hate with understanding requires empathy, education, and open dialogue. It requires empathy, education, and open dialogue. Three things that are really lacking in our society today. You know, we do family gatherings and stuff with people will make a comment once in a while. Yeah, we'll be hanging out at mom and dad's or wherever, and somebody make a comment. You know, I hate broccoli, or I hate that TV show, or I hate that song. And dad likes to make the comment. Hate's a strong word. He's not wrong. Hate's a strong word. People throw it around pretty easily nowadays. Scripture tells us to hate sin, to hate evil. Nowhere does it tell us to hate people. Nowhere. But our society is getting to that point to where we're equating an opinion, an action, a political stance, or whatever, to I now hate that person because of an ideology, because of a belief, because of an opinion. Scripture, again, I'm going to say it again. Scripture tells us to hate sin and evil. It does not tell us to hate people. Romans 12, 9. Hate what is evil and cling to what is good. Psalm 97, 10. Let those who love the Lord hate sin. Amos 5, 15. Hate evil and love good and establish justice. In the Greek, that word that's translated hate, misio, means to detest, abhor, hate. So when we're reading that in Scripture, hate sin, hate evil, abhor it, detest it. That's what we're supposed to be hating or detesting, not people. You know, that the old saying we hear, you know, hate the sin and love the sinner. That's a biblical principle, but it's not in the Bible. You're not going to find it in those words in the Bible. That actually came from St. Augustine of Hippo. He was a Christian theologian in the 4th century. One of his writings, he makes that comment. Hate the sin and love the sinner. That is a biblical principle. You're not going to see it in so many words, but that's what God calls us to do. I wanted to talk on this because the fear I have is that this has become so insidious. It's immersing itself in all aspects of our lives and society. You see it impacting our children. We see it impacting our daily lives. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got to be careful. So I wanted to talk about this. We've got to be very careful of this. Are we hating the person because of something they did? Are we hating the action itself? We have to be careful of that. That's a really fine line. It can be a very fine line. Ephesians 4, 30-32. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, and along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ, God forgave you. Let me explain that one a little bit, because it says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another. Paul's talking like Jesus was talking in Matthew. He ain't talking about just people in these four walls. He's talking to everybody we come in contact with. Be kind and compassionate and forgiving. That's all people. That's just not us. That's all people. God for so loved the world. The world. That's big. We got to remember that. Bo and Clarence, let's go back to the beginning. Bo and Clarence, they didn't know each other, but they hated each other because they were told, them's bad people over there. Don't trust them. Don't like them. Sound familiar? How much stuff do we run across in today where people hate things, but they have no idea why? I run into that all the time. I've had conversations with people where they just pop off about something, and I'll ask them, why are you so passionate about that? And they don't know. They really don't know. There is a difference between hating something passionately and having passion about something. We're trying to mesh them again. They're two different things. Hating passionately or having passion about something. Completely different things. We gotta sever that. We gotta be careful of that. And I guess all this to say, don't be a Bo or Clarence. Simply to put, you know, all this is around us every day. Every day. It's so easy to become a Bo or a Clarence and hate just to hate. Now, one of the things is Bo made a comment to his wife. He goes, 12 foot six, I didn't realize that boy was that big. He didn't look that big across the river. Isn't that what we run into, though? I mean, think about that. Things happen. People get upset, get frustrated about something, but they don't have all the facts. They see something in front of them, they make an assumption. Clarence is 12'6". Bad assumption. So you're probably wondering about, whoop, I had the title of my sermon, was be a rebel. Be a rebel. What do I mean by that? Don't give in to hate. Don't give in to what society's telling us to give into. That's the work of Satan. He wants us to go down that rabbit hole. And it is a hard rabbit hole to get out of once you're in it. Don't feed on what society is feeding us. We have to feed on the Word of God. Do as Jesus commanded. Love your enemies and do good to those who persecute you.